was raised by the wolves. I was raised by the wolves. I was raised by the wolves.
All right, folks, we are back with another edition of the Red and White Podcast. That was for the pod chat there. I can't play too long or I will get booted off of Spotify, I think. So yeah, a little take day on the intro just for you, Zach, and company. All right, we're back. Another edition of Red and White Podcast. I think I already said that. I'm your host, Evan, here with Will. And let's just get into it, Will.
Taylor Swift. Okay, let's talk about it.
And Travis Kelce. Apparently they're a thing now.
Match made in heaven. This is the one. I feel it.
That's gonna be some. That's gonna be a tall baby.
That's all you need.
All right. VMI game went about as expected. How do you take anything from that game?
Yeah, the CW can play football games.
It was actually a pretty good broadcast.
That's what I was gonna say. It was actually pleasantly surprised. I just watched the game now. Would I take much else from it? That was a good test for, you know, again, for all these teams that are just going to sit back and in coverage and try to make Brendan Armstrong carve you up. We looked pretty efficient doing so. I think at one point he was like 22 of 26. I can't remember. Yeah. I can't remember what his finishing line was. But I found, I don't know. I thought the offense was clicking a little bit. Porter Rooks caught some balls. You know, it was kind of funny because I thought it was going to be a game that we would condense down a little bit, but then we expanded roles, and you know, maybe there was one deep shot to Terrell Timmons, I think. You know, just a game where they got a lot of bodies in, probably trying to keep certain people healthy. McMahon got injured, so we'll see if that's serious. Like, I don't know. You always watch these games and you're like, I just want to pay these people to lose and then not get any injuries. And we almost, well, I can't say almost, I think that happened within like the first like 10 snaps. So,
yeah. Yeah. McMahon got hurt. I don't take anything from this game. We are physically dominant, right? And I don't think it should have been. It wasn't a contest, right? It wasn't close. It wasn't. It just wasn't much of a challenge. It was more of a glorified scrimmage. I think there's very little to take from it. I think it was more about getting guys reps. I would like to have seen, I think the offense did okay. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of possessions, right? I think they had 8 offensive possessions. So it's kind of hard to say, would you like to see them getting more of a rhythm? But I'm starting to think that they are, one, still trying to gel everybody in the offense and figure out who does what and who can do what, both on the field and coaching. Right. And I think they're trying to determine what's going to work. I don't think they have tried anything that we should see Friday. And maybe as the games start getting tougher, as this offense advances, I think they're still trying to learn some of it. But I also don't think that Anai has flexed anything yet. It's been pretty vanilla. And
I mean, you said this after the UConn game, triple option.
That first drive, we went tempo, and we have not seen that at all since. And I have a feeling that's going to be more of a staple as we get into ACC play. Now, it does feel like an excuse, right? It does feel like we're saving the playbook, and I hate that. But I got to think they're not stressed about any of these games. You know, the Notre Dame games, an outlier, but nice to win, but really doesn't mean anything. They're trying to win ACC games. Am I crazy?
Yeah, I mean, you're discounting the triple option that we saw.
I mean, some nonsense there. Like, it's,
I don't know. That might be like one of the go-to things they do when they're up. Yeah, it's been two games now against inferior opponents where we went tempo in the first drive and scored and then kind of backed out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I do wonder if we're going to see it more in ACC play. It may be something where they just want to try to get a quick set of points and then see if they can kind of kill clock. So, yeah, that's going to be something to watch. I think there's certain guys that they are trying to get more in the flow that they want to go to. Like, Dakari Collins had more involvement in this game. Rosner had more involvement. KC seems like a given at this point. He's very comfortable with KC. Hardly any Vereen, so I don't know what was going on there, but more Penix, which was kind of odd. This is like a game where I thought you barely would play Penix. He seemed a lot more prevalent. So I think they're inching closer to maybe their go-to bunch of guys. Still very confusing at seeing like a Timmons in, I don't know what to call it other than a slump. It's like, I know a lot of his, a lot of his big plays last year were deep balls. And if everyone's just going to sit back there and double or triple with their safeties in the back, maybe that's going to be tough for guys like him, Smith. Like, I mean, they just don't seem willing to try to go deep right now. I don't know. I mean, I appreciate just seeing it be like efficient. Like, you look down for a second and it's the first quarter. I think it was 21-0. You know, that pick six helps, right? But
your boy Poogie, that was a nice return.
I told you, man. Great names. They always play. You know, it's good seeing Coit and Gray have really nice games. Gray having what should have been two touchdowns, right? Yeah. But I also thought, like, Gray was, I mean, again, I think Gray is starting to kind of establish himself as a receiver. Made some nice, I think he made one really nice third down conversion. That's probably late in the second. So, like, to me, it's good. I'm still a little annoyed with the defense because there was one play where if Peyton Wilson doesn't jump and block the pass, it's like an automatic touchdown. Their guy was wide open. So, it's, you know, and then we had, you know, they did end up giving up the touchdown, but we're still doing some stuff on defense that's allowing potential big plays. And it just feels like, I mean, at this point, I have to bank that we're going to have one very bad defensive play that's going to allow a touchdown at UVA and keep those guys in the game. So,
well, interesting stat so far defensively. Nobody, State hasn't allowed anybody to get inside the 10-yard line, which I think is wild. And credit to Alex from IPS who said that. I think that is both a good stat and a bad stat. They've let teams score, and there's just been big plays. Yeah. Yeah. But they've also not let teams sustain drives. And it's going to be interesting to see how much that changes as we get into better competition. And yeah. I'm not sure Virginia's better competition, but we'll get to that here in a few minutes. It's interesting, though. Philip Danford, IPS, tweeted something the other day, is his little pass chart. And the stats were 84% completion percentage. Average, he tweeted out this graph, right? And it's got all these red dots of completions and attempts.
Is it this game or just season?
This game. It was a VMI game.
Okay.
And average air yards per attempt is 5.8. And I responded to him and said, that's got to change or it's going to be a long season. And essentially he just said that teams are dropping eight and,
yeah,
you know, that's what it is, right? We're going to play underneath them and not challenge them. I get that, but at some point, don't you just send Ant Smith or Timmons deep and like stretch them and make them run? The Ant Smith disappearance, I think, is weird. And like you said, Timmons has not been great. But put him in there and let him run and see if you're, you know, you can at least threaten to take the top off of the defense. I don't know if that's something they're gonna work in or they just no interest in it. But I don't like the constant short yardage defense, or it feels like feels very similar to last year. And I'm not sure if that is intentional or if that is how it's going to be in the future.
Yeah, I mean, Dave in his press conference earlier in the week mentioned that they were trying to get Timmons and Smith more comfortable. I feel like he said both of them.
Do you have the box score up for this game?
No, but I can get it.
Because it's one of the parts of that I think is interesting is everybody's going light box, right? They're dropping eight. UConn didn't do it to an extreme, but they were running deeper coverages. And Danford said, opens up the scramble opportunities. Well, you should be able to run the ball against these guys. And we've yet to see our running backs really get going. There's a disconnect here somewhere, and I don't know where it is. I'm not a football savant to be able to figure out what is happening or what am I seeing. And I hope to get some clarity on that Friday.
Yeah, I mean, when I was at Virginia, I didn't think they were a great running team that often. So, I don't know if that's a factor here or not. Sorry, I'm just pulling up the box score. Yeah, I mean, the running game is just frustrating right now. You're seeing some pops here and there, and then you see next to nothing from others. You got Cooper back in, but he's now at center temporarily. If you're relying on a walk-on fullback to block that, probably makes it very obvious when he's in the game what's happening. You're not always getting consistent blocking from the wide receivers. So, I don't know. I'm not surprised. Like, I feel like we've been saying this for years. Like, we say that we're hard, tough, together and all this stuff, hands in the dirt, but we have not been really good at running the ball when you watch it. And someone will probably pop off and say, whoa, look at this efficiency. Look at this.
There's always a stat. It's the same thing with my work. There's always a stat that you can point to and create the narrative that you want, to tell the story that you want that makes whatever you're trying to do look good. And this we've not been able to push teams off the ball. That's VMI or any of these other teams. We just have not been able to do it. I don't take anything away from the VMI game. My bigger concern is watching UConn just be a shell of what we said they were going to be. When we watch the game, like, okay, maybe UConn's better than they are, but they're just getting toasted by everybody so far. And I know they lost their quarterback. Doesn't mean the defense has to be to give up everything, right? Everybody's scoring on them, and we were not scoring on them easily. That's a concern for me, and that's kind of why I'm going into this week and I'm thinking Virginia's terrible, but there's a lot of, okay, maybe we're not that good either, or maybe this game is just going to be closer than it needs to be because that's how we've been playing games. So I don't know. I don't know where I am right now. We didn't get anything from that Virginia game. I didn't personally get anything from that VMI game. I mean, and so I'm just not sure what to expect in the offense, but I'm starting to believe it's just very vanilla on purpose right now, which I hate, but I don't know. Yeah. It's kind of where we are.
I mean, then again, if teams are only going to rush like three or four, it's going to be tough to make like explosive plays. I've honestly never seen this concerted of an effort to, I think even Dave was like, this is like extreme bend, don't break. And I don't know. I mean, the VMI defensive players weren't terrible. They had one safety. I thought that was doing a pretty good job tackling everyone. It's just like TBD. I mean, I don't know what to make of UConn. I mean, they let 24 up to FIU. And I think, didn't they lose their quarterback for the season? So, you know, they're probably cooked. But we also know they had like kind of like a meteoric run last year, and it was our first game. It was on the road. It didn't feel like we were trying that hard, but it also didn't feel like we knew what we were doing yet. So, TBD. Mm-hmm. I guess just each week as we're watching, you know, despite the outcome, I thought the offense played decently against Notre Dame after settling in. Yeah, they blew it on the first few possessions, but you know, those first two teams had a lot of experience playing Robert and I, and you know, UConn obviously had experience with our personnel, so you know, I thought that was a little, that was a unique game in general. But yeah, I'd be curious. I mean, obviously, you know, UVA has a lot of experience with Brennan Armstrong, right? So it'll be curious to see what will happen. I've got excellent seats right behind the NC State bench this weekend, so I'll be reporting all of the hot topics coming out of that part of the stadium. but I do think, I don't know, I could easily see us go in there and just methodically, maybe the first like couple drives will be slow because UVA's defense has been pretty good to start games, but I could see that one quickly turn, hopefully for us. And then, you know, Louisville, I think, is going to be a good test. And then, you know, you got Marshall again. I don't know. I really do feel like this offense at the end of the season is going to be a little different. But if everyone's just going to sit back and just be like, beat us underneath, then we're going to probably try to beat them underneath. And, you know, I mean, Dave is so averse to aggression. You know, maybe you try to go deep against a Louisville or someone like that that you're like not that impressed with on defense. But, you know, if everyone's just going to sit back, then just take what you can get and move down. They've been relatively efficient.
I get it. It just seems crazy to me. And there is some glimmer of hope, though, because like you mentioned earlier, Julian Gray looked, I thought he looked fantastic in space. Yeah. We have some guys that can make some plays in space. So if that's how they're going to do it, then okay. It doesn't give me any warm fuzzies. It's funny you're talking about Dave's lack of aggression in his presser yesterday. He said, every game in this league is a one-score game. And I know he was being a little hyperbolic with it. And I went through.
Did he say one score or one possession?
I think he said one-score game.
Okay.
And I went through it, and the average of the 8 ACC league games for the 14 teams is 3.4 one possession games per season. And the three teams that are worst are UNC with 6, Duke, and NC State. And I just kind of look. The UNC one kind of surprised me, but again, they don't play any defense, and they at least last year, right? This is a one-year sample. I didn't go very far. So that kind of explains that. But the rest of them I thought were interesting, being only 3 1 score games. Meanwhile, we're here grinding everything out. It just, again, and a lot of people have said it, just feels like a grind on offense. And I still don't know what we're trying to do.
Hey, you know, BC kept it a 1 score game with FSU.
Yeah, I mean, it happens, right? There's always the anomalies. So I don't know if there's anything to take from it other than that he was exaggerating.
I don't know, man. You know what? I just feel think that. Yeah, I guess the way I interpret it was the talent parity is pretty close across most of the league, right? I mean, you've had Clemson be like the 100% standout for the most part. And then there has been a lot of closer games. But yeah, to your point, is that self-inflicted? Possibly. I mean, there were times that we won games where we were up like 14 or 17 points, and then the game ended with 7, you know, but it was like the other team really never had a chance to fully make up the gap. So like, I get what he's saying. It's kind of like, I take everything these guys say with a grain of salt.
Yeah, definitely.
But I mean, just in general, it's really seemed like a weird start of football in general. It seems like everything is a lot tighter. I do wonder if some of the, I mean, it feels like a lot of those 6-year players have started filtering out now as we've gotten beyond the, you know, so it's like all the guys that were kind of juniors and seniors during that COVID bubble are now starting to fade out of the program. So maybe we're starting to see a lot more inconsistency because of that. So maybe the last year or two, it's been almost college football has been just so much better because guys have stuck around longer. It just feels like looking across the league, I'm just like not impressed when I'm looking at the box scores. And when I get to like occasionally check in on a game, I haven't really been wowed by what I've seen. I'd be curious now, like this is supposed to be like the super weekend of games. So it'll be curious to see if like things change now that like the urgency starts cranking up and a lot more league games start happening. But I don't know. I mean, with us, I think like by the end of the season, if they're healthy, like I think like a Rosner and Collins are going to be a lot more prevalent in the box score. Like it just seems like those two look different on the field compared. Now, obviously, like VMI was like undersized, but like Rosner really stood out to me. Collins stood out to me. I really love the way KC just after catch what he does, just how physical he kind of runs. So like, I just think it's going to pop at some point. I was listening to the IPS pod with a Virginia beat writer, and he was just like, it just feels like Brennan Armstrong is so close to having like a 5-touchdown game. Like, I feel like in the next week or two, something's going to happen because I just don't trust ACC coordinators to be patient enough to sit back. And at the same time, I think some of our weapons are probably about to turn on. So I'm hopeful. I just think we've been the first few weeks limited. Some of it was personnel related. I think it's going to be different going forward.
I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know where I stand right now on it. And I'm really interested to see how we handle this Virginia game being an ACC game and what we look like. I don't think they're going to play the whole playbook. And it's kind of Dave's formula to win games like this, not being aggressive and grind it out. And to me, I thought some of that had changed, right? When he talked about in his presser about changing the way they play offense, you know, in the offseason, I kind of thought, and maybe that's what got my expectations for the offense to be, excuse me, more direct, more aggressive and more dynamic. But we just haven't seen it, man. And it's to me, it's unfortunate because I think it really, in today's football, it's how you identify programs. And Dave wins. It's fine. He does his baseline. I hope we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. I don't know.
Yeah.
Are you worried about the reunion tour with Des Kitchens on one side and then Brennan Armstrong and Robert and I on the other side and Armstrong's first game back in Charlottesville after leaving and after the tragedy last year and all that stuff? Like,
well, I'm never worried about a Des Kitchens offense.
It's funny. I give James Henderson a lot of crap about Des when he was a co-coordinator here and all that. And Virginia went up 14-0 or 14-7 in the game last week. And he texted me. He says, "Des!" exclamation point. And I responded with "Evans?" question mark. And because I wasn't paying attention. And then Virginia didn't score the rest of the game. They got blown out 42-14 or something like that. So it was a short conversation, but yeah, I think it's going to be, and that's part of the reason it concerns me. I don't think we'll lose this game. And I feel like we shouldn't lose this game. I'm going to be honest, but I can definitely see it being a grinded out game. You know, if we're not sharp, if we let the emotions get in the way, and it's a 17-10 slop fest, I can see that happening. And maybe it's me being a little more pessimistic or maybe a little more conservative with my optimism since it's not April anymore. But I don't know. Like, I got a feeling this game is going to be closer than it should be. And State's a 9-point favorite, 9.5-point favorite, whatever the number was. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think it covers.
Excuse me. Yeah, I think as long as we don't turn over the ball and do anything stupid, we should be able to comfortably win this game. Like, they're not that good. They're not a good team. Would it surprise? What do you think our time of possession ranking is right now?
League?
No, like NC State's time of possession versus all of college football.
Not great, because we haven't had a ton of possessions. So
I'm going to blow your mind. We're 14th.
Huh.
In time of possession. We're averaging 33 minutes a game. Which is interesting.
That's a Dave special right there.
It is, but it's also kind of, we haven't, like we were kind of talking about earlier, right? We've probably seen what, maybe 3 drives of tempo all year.
Yeah.
So I was trying to look up the number of possessions and time of possession came up. But yeah, I mean, here's the thing, right? I know Brandon Armstrong's probably going to be pretty fired up. Anaya's going to be fired up. I think the location doesn't impact 2J, right? I mean, he's just coaching his offensive line. And it's just really going to be a question of, can UVA actually take advantage of what Brennan does wrong? I think their defensive line is supposed to be pretty good this year, or decent this year. So I guess I'm going to be watching how the line holds up and whether or not Armstrong has time. I mean, it felt like against Notre Dame, he had no time. And then against VMI, he had more time than I've ever seen a quarterback have. And he still only had one touchdown passing. So it's just going to be curious to see like what shows up. But like, I don't think UVA is a good team. I don't think Maryland's a good team. Right. So it's going to be a Friday night. It's going to be interesting. Plenty of cheap tickets are available for the game. So hopefully it's not a sellout. I got awesome seats. So if you think about coming up, go on SeatGeek, everyone. There's a lot of cheap seats there. That's my promo. And I don't know. Like, I mean, should we really be – again, I think the defense every game has let up at least one explosive. So there's going to be a BS explosive that's let up. The question is just going to be, can we come out? Are we going to come out with a lot of tempo? Are we going to do anything different? Like, there were a lot of different plays and formations this game against VMI. And so I know some people are like, well, they're just giving them stuff to think about. But we sure looked like pretty comfortable running that little option game that we were doing there. So are we going to keep building off of that? We did a lot at
BYU with Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
So there is some of that there.
I guess what I'm saying is it looked well rehearsed. It didn't look like half-assed, put it on the tape to make them practice it kind of thing. It almost, you know, you just kind of wonder, is anyone actually paying attention to that or not? Because if they're not, I think we could see some big plays come off of stuff like that. I don't know. I just think we're in the point of the season right now where Anaya is going to start building off of things. Like, the nice thing is honestly, we haven't had significant injuries, right? So he hasn't had any change to his quarterback. The wide receiver room is deep, but not, you know, no major players are missing yet. So it does feel like it's about time to see stuff kind of grow in the offense. I don't know. I'm not really worried about this game. I'm not worried enough about this game to the point that I'm driving up to it, which I told myself this morning I wasn't doing. And then I thought about it for a while and then I said, I guess I'm going to go. So, you know.
All right. Getting back to VMI for a minute. Brennan Armstrong played 90% of the game. Ethan Rhodes came in to hand off the ball. and everybody's clamoring for MJ Morris. Where's MJ? And while I don't believe MJ gives you a better chance to win, I don't think the offense changes that much with MJ there, although I did say that last year, and he came in with a little confidence and threw the ball around. But I don't think that changes. I just don't think MJ's presence changes how this offense flows.
Blasphemy.
Now, I was surprised not to see him, even at the end of the game, because I feel like you got to get that guy reps. And that was more the surprising part to me. And then Dave came out on his radio show earlier today or yesterday and said, we're trying to redshirt him. If I get an opportunity to not play him, I'm not going to play him. MJ doesn't need mop-up duty right now. So it's two parts to that statement. I get that he doesn't need mop-up duty against VMI.
Yeah.
I thought the experience might outweigh that. And part of that is me being a conservative or maybe a burned State fan watching Jay Davis come in. If Chuck Amato had played Jay Davis a little bit before that, he would have realized I need another quarterback. And same thing with Marcus Stone, you know, and
Jay Davis.
You know, just at some point, supporters. You have to realize, you have to see what you got. And maybe they know what they have with MJ. But I was kind of surprised from that regards. I understand they're trying to redshirt him.
What is the value of that, though?
That's the part I don't get. Is like, you expect the guy to be here for three more years? That's just not – that doesn't happen in today's college football. If he is, my God, then, you know, Dave Dorn is playing 4D chess here. I don't see it, to be honest. And MJ retweeted that quote. Somebody put it out there. So, like, he clearly knows and he's trust the process and blah, blah, blah. I get it. But, man, it's – like, there's some information, some information we don't have.
Yeah. I mean, MJ doesn't need to play against VMI. It's a waste of his time. And I think there's also some thought process there that says, like, if MJ walks in and just bombs a touchdown, right, we're going to have all that chatter. So I'm sure they don't want to,
I agree,
you know, confuse the team. I mean, I still think, if the argument is, hey, he doesn't quite know the system yet, and there's no point in playing him in a worthless game where he's going to hand it off 90% of the time, probably at that point in the game anyways, I'd buy that. Whoever it was in the pod chat that was speculating maybe the knee injury just isn't fully recovered yet.
It's a good possibility.
Or maybe it just took longer. I mean, I don't know. He looked fine in the spring game. That's my thing. Is like, so I don't think he's incapable. I mean, it could just be simply they're like, hey, man, like, we're going to give you the keys to this. I hate banking red shirts when he could easily get injured next year or the year after that. And then the red shirt didn't do anything. We can try to apply for a medical red shirt, but, you know, no deal. So I don't know. It's just weird to me, but I still don't think that. I think you said it earlier. I don't think him being in Notre Dame necessarily changes the outcome of Notre Dame.
Agreed. Yeah.
I just really liked what I saw last year, and I think he could definitely succeed in this system. And yeah, I'll be curious if, like, later in the season, if we have, I was just trying to think about it. Like, do we really have, like, a strong blowout game on the schedule that's really left? Just trying to pull the schedule back up real fast.
No, we have Marshall, and that's about it.
Maybe Virginia Tech.
By two worse teams.
Yeah. Virginia Tech. Like,
it's on the road, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you can get them through games, if you get them through Miami, right, then you got three games to burn them on, and you could also play them in a bowl. You know, but I think they're sitting on it.
I think they're sitting on it in case Armstrong gets hurt and they have to play him. And
he will get knocked out of a game. I guarantee he'll get knocked out of a game at some point.
Sure feels like it, the way he runs and all that jazz.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. Like, I was kind of saying, like, I was going to report from where I'm sitting. I'm on the 50. on the third row. So I'm very excited to kind of
you're getting play calls.
Oh yeah, I'm going to be really paying attention to the sidelines because I am hoping that the game itself is boring and I can just kind of watch the attitude of players and kind of see if I can pick anything out of the sea there. I'm obviously going to be looking out for my guy Chris Scott Jr. There's going to be some Ant Smith shout outs. Please
sit on the bench.
Oh my gosh, I'm just going to be sitting there. The Vasily Dream Team is just sitting there. It's killing me. I just thought it was funny that maybe someone directly asked him about it for the radio show, but when he came on, so he was trying to redshirt him. I was just like, why? I just don't get it. If you've convinced him to stick around, if that truck has done it and he's going to be here 3 years, that's awesome. But I just have really high hopes for MJ. So I'll be surprised if we get three more playing years from him. But if it works out, it works out. Great. I don't know. I'm just a believer. And I think bringing Brennan Armstrong in was the right thing to do. It makes sense with the system. But I think MJ is the future. I'd be shocked if, you know. I mean, let's ask this question, right? Like, you got to bring in a transfer quarterback this offseason, right?
Oh, 100%. You know they're going to. And that's the question to me is, like, if they plan on redshirting MJ and then go out and get another Brennan Armstrong, what does MJ think about all that?
Well, do they? Yeah.
And I think he bounces. And then you bring in two transfer quarterbacks because you're going to be in a bind there with Ethan Rhodes and a hurt Lex Thomas and then Cedric Bailey coming in as a true freshman.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if that's some of the calculus, right? Like, if I don't put MJ on film, maybe another good transfer quarterback will show up.
Or maybe nobody comes after MJ.
Yeah, I thought you had a good speculation of him going to Coastal.
that's mine. I think if he does transfer, I would not be surprised if he ends up with Tim Beck again.
I just think he's better than that.
That's his dude. He knows that Tim Beck's offense.
Yeah, but like, wouldn't you rather play at the higher level? I don't know. It's not like it's the fun Chanticleers anymore. It's the Beccacleers. And I don't know. Now I got to go look at the Coastal game log. I wasn't too impressed with what I saw against UCLA. So
people that are crazy still think I'd rather have Grayson McCall than Brennan Armstrong. But yeah.
Then Brennan Armstrong? Yeah.
100%.
Well,
I'm a Grayson McCall believer. That guy's good.
I know. It's been nice seeing Brennan, like how mobile he is, though. And I know that was also a Grayson McCall thing, too. But I don't know. Like I said, I'm just going to be really curious to see if defenses just sit back as much as these ones have so far. Notre Dame teed off more, but it's really interesting. I feel like Anai is like maybe a little surprised at how much people are just sitting back and saying, just beat us underneath. And I think probably in his head, he's like, I am happy to do this.
I just want you to do the rest of the pod in a Robert Anai voice. Okay.
It's really, you know, Evan, that is a thoughtful request. Next.
It's a good cadence there. There you go. All right. I'm going to get into these pod questions so you can, you know, you sound like you're on some NyQuil. So let's.
No, it's just, I apologize. This cough is just not going away.
Pod questions. We got a few of them. Who do you feel more? This is a good question. Who do you feel good about more right now, knowing who the team is, UNC or NC State? So who are you more confident you know what the real team is? Oh. What they are. It's an easy one.
I mean, I think UNC is very, very clear to me. I'm not exactly impressed by them. I don't know, man. This just seems like it's like the start of the season that's like perfect for certain teams, like Colorado. Everything kind of lined up those first three games. I mean, UNC couldn't have had a better three crap opponents to start with. I don't know. I thought Ethan was right in what he was tweeting about Drake May's stats for like the last seven games and how crap he's been.
He hadn't been great. I think he's good, but he has not been great this year.
him going 2 for 2 against Minnesota, like everyone's going to be focused on the 400 yards. But to me, I'm like the 2 interceptions, like this guy's been putting up a lot more picks. You know,
just because they don't have Tez Walker.
Man, don't get me started on Tez. The I mean, they're going to boat race Pitt, right? I can't believe how bad Phil Dracovic is. That's crazy.
Pitt's terrible. Yeah, Dracovic was the one that they – wasn't he all ACC above Leary that year, whatever year that was, 2020
well,
or something?
The COVID year, he popped. He popped off. And then
– until he got hurt, right? But then it was the one year they did the quarterback rankings, and it was either him or Hartman or somebody. And Leary was like 5th in the league. You're like, y'all don't watch these games.
Yeah.
Leary is
I think
way
it was
better
after the COVID year. Dracovic. Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. So I UNC, I still don't think I know what NC State is, and that's kind of what I'm been on about for the last couple weeks here. Is the next 2 weeks are really going to be, or maybe the next 3 weeks are going to be really indicative of what this NC State team is offensively. I still think defense is good. It's been disruptive. It's been doing the things it needs to be doing. But, you know, what are we getting out of the offense? I don't really know. I think you kind of know what you got with Carolina.
We just need the explosives to show up. If the explosives showed up, I'd be like, this team is great.
Yeah. Better odds. Miami wins the ACC or Dave comes back for another year.
Oh. Better odds, Dave.
Yeah. It's got to be Dave because I don't think Miami's winning the ACC this year. They haven't played anybody yet either, so we're not sure what Miami's got.
I'm just waiting for James Madison to go 12-0 and get that BCS invite. I didn't realize they were...
What decade are you in?
I mean, the best. You know, back when the computers could be trusted. Back before AI.
This is a random question. If you're Matt Campbell's wife, are you pissed he didn't take the big contract at another job? His stock has fallen.
Oh, I mean, yeah. He can get hired by Michigan State now.
He still might, right? He still might.
Oh, that's what
everybody talks about Matt Campbell, and I'm like, Dave Dorn's got a better resume than Matt Campbell.
I mean, yeah, if you want like pure as the driven snow, you got to get Dave Doran up there to to counter the bad juju that's swirling around. God, I would not want to touch Michigan State's athletic programs like at all. I can't believe what a cesspool. It would honestly, like, don't you think it'd be really funny if that's when Matt Campbell gets hired?
It would not surprise me at all. Honestly, it would not surprise me at all. Does it frustrate you watching Kansas, Duke, Colorado, and Oregon State seem more organized, successful football, especially with the offense, with less talent most times? Why are these such excuses and lack of expectations with Dave in his 10th year?
What were the three teams?
Duke, Colorado, Kansas, Oregon State. And yes, it does. It really does. You know, watching like Duke especially has become a competent program under Mike Elko in a year and 3 games. And Kansas, you know, everybody, we were on Leipold. This pod was on Leipold for when he was at Buffalo. You know, that guy's a fantastic coach. And it is a little surprising what he's done at Kansas so far, but that guy just they know what they're doing, right? And they have a formula that works. Dion at Colorado, I mean, like you said, everything has fallen their way, and it's, you know, it is what it is with the talent, the transfers. We'll see how that plays out against Oregon this week, if they get boat raced or not. But still, it's, again, being flashy, scoring points. All these things are how you brand your program. Everybody's talking about Colorado right now, and it's insane. And we were talking about this in the pod chat the other day. Couldn't you imagine, just in a hypothetical, Dave had retired and Dion, and they had hired Dion, and it was NC State in the limelight of all these games? That would just – it would be so weird for us. It would be so outside of the norm. It would be like a glimmer of what – you know, the Chuck years would be a glimmer of what that would be, but it'd be magnified like 100 times because the eyeballs on college football right now.
I think it would have just been really funny to see how many guys Dion kicked out of the program.
Yeah. He comes in and he's like, damn, like Dave did his first year. I was like, we got nobody on the squad. I need a whole new team.
Yeah. I mean, probably not as dramatic, right? I think he would just need a skill player too. But I don't know. I'm still like on the Duke is going to come back. I don't know, man. Like they had like literally the most insane amount of outcomes come out their way against Clemson. They just beat Northwestern. Who cares?
Right, but like, they beat
that's
the
a
crap
you know that's a Northwestern program. It's going through scandal, all this stuff. Like so, I'm just still a little skeptical on Duke. I'll feel better. I mean, I just need to see like six games to really get a real feel for who they are. Like I said, I mean, the thing is like, I guess what I'd say about like Colorado, Kansas, like they have innovative offensive schemes. And they, what's his name? That was it, Sean Lewis that left Kent State to.
Yeah, yeah.
He left Tez freaking Walker to go to Colorado. I mean, that's a bold move, sir.
It's interesting. The question, I think about this question a lot when I'm watching college football. I watch a lot of college football and watching these teams that are, you know, having success or look like they are put together and don't stumble over themselves. I do think part of that is us being so close to the forest when, you know, you know, that whole thing.
See the forest through the trees.
That's the word I was trying to get to. Where we look at everything in a microcosm, as I don't do that when I'm watching Kansas or, you know, Kansas State's another good example to me is that, you know, Klieman has not been there for a long time and they are, I mean, I don't want to say perennial, but they've been in the top 20 for a while now, and they've been there. I mean, they just won the Big 12, and I know they lost to Missouri in a 61-yard field goal, but they're still – they seem to have it – seem to be put together. It's kind of how I phrase these things. Like, Duke seems to be put together. Kansas seems to be put together. And it doesn't make them perfect, and they're not going to lose, but – I do watch these teams and I watch them have success on offense and I watch like App State play Carolina and I watch App State just be able to run the ball over the place. And I'm like, how come we can't do that? Do we not have the guy, like the guys to do that? Like how is App State schemes at this point able to constantly get rushing yards? And we seem to struggle with it. That's the kind of questions I always come back to. And I know I'm not alone. I know a lot of people are feel the same way, and maybe I'm not articulating it exactly right, but I think there is you're not alone if you do think about that, or if you do feel like that.
Yeah. I mean, Duke's about to go on the road for the first time to play UConn and their backup quarterback, so we'll see who's real in that basketball school shootout.
Duke's playing UConn?
Yeah, Duke goes to UConn this week. Then they get Notre Dame. Then they have a bye week. Then they have us. Then they have Florida State. Then they have Louisville. Like, I think the world's about to get a lot. Like I said, that's why I said after about six games, I forgot that we were the 6-1. I'll have a lot better feel for who Duke really is. To your point, right? It's just watching teams, it seems like when you're just collectively looking efficient and having your stuff together on offense, it just seems to go a lot way to trick your eyeballs. I don't know, man. Well, again, like you can tell that's not the offense that we were expecting or and I was expecting. And so it really comes down to is he having to change the way he's going to approach things? If everyone's going to sit back and say, I don't want to have 2021 Armstrong beat me. Again, I just think there's some teams that are going to think that they have better players, and they're not going to sit back like that. So we'll see. But yeah, still, it's just frustrating. You know,
it's to me like the answer or the we asked this question before like last year, and anytime we brought it up, somebody would say, "Well, you know, running quarterback. You need a running quarterback." You know, Leary's not giving you anything in that regards. Yeah, okay, it's kind of a stretch to me. But we have a running quarterback now. I'm still not seeing it, right? I'm still not seeing it. Like, Kendrick Raphael and Michael Allen showed a little something. Michael Allen's still unbelievable, 7.8 yards per carry in that game, 6 for 47. Kendrick Raphael, 16 for 85 yards, 5.3 a carry. Like, they show you a little something. Like, maybe we're going to see more of them, but the inability to, you know, seemingly run the ball. We want to run the ball, given the hard, tough together mantra. Very strange to me.
Well, we're 52nd in rushing offense, so, you know, that's way better than last year.
Yeah.
I was trying to organize it by, I was trying to see where we rank by average, but this whole thing is all messed up. I kind of hate the NCAA stat website. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I just think if certain guys continue to get to kind of push ahead in the pile, it just feels like we're on the verge of figuring this team out. It kind of makes sense that we were trying to figure all the parts out, and we don't have like an automatic, like de facto obvious wide receiver. And they didn't want to promote the young guys too soon. So again, I think by the end of the season, I think we'll have a better appreciation for this team. I mean, I will say, like, we did play Notre Dame, right? So, you know, not everyone has had like a really hard team come in yet. So,
yeah,
we'll see. I think after this game, like after Friday, and I guess next Friday too, because we got two back-to-back Fridays, we'll know if it's time to panic or not.
That's fair enough. Fair enough. Virginia just announced they're wearing all blue, all navy for this game.
Oh my God.
So that's fun.
My wife and I were just talking about that before I came on. She's like, I hope they wear the all blue because that's their best look. And I said, knowing our luck, that'll be the case then.
Yeah. All navy. You know what I hate about going to that? I went to the Virginia. I went to Charlottesville for a game a couple of years ago. Actually, many years ago. The damn graduation song they just play all the time. It's like their fight song is it's so terrible. It's like, God, just put me to sleep. Why don't you?
Yeah. I mean, at least play the Harry Met Sally scene to go with it to make me feel good.
We're leaving it at that. I think both of us feel we'll probably learn a little bit more about this team after this game. And I don't think there's a whole lot to take away. I was listening to other podcasts and they're breaking down VMI box scores and plays. And just like, and it's just, it seems like a futile effort there. We didn't learn anything. They were very tiny. Other than that little 15, that wide receiver, he was good. Get him in the portal next year. I liked him. He was nice. Well, he
was a good guy. 17 was a guy that I kept saying making tackles on defense. So I thought they had a couple pieces that were not too bad. I thought this trivia was really funny about the Virginia. Their kicker is 34 years old.
Really?
Yeah, he was in the military and then was teaching himself how to kick while he was on ships and whatnot. And he's like in their MBA program and, you know, 34 kids, you know. So I'm sure when Friedlander or whoever else is stumping for Tez Walker still figures that out, oh, it's going to be nonstop on Twitter. Yeah, I did have a point to make, and now I can't remember. Damn. It was something about VMI and, like, what to take from it, or if there was anything to take from it. Oh, yeah. I think the only key takeaway was, right, is that we scored a lot in the first half. Like, it was just, we looked consistent. So, that's all I wanted to really see, right? So, like, I'm not going to sit there and break down. I mean, I appreciated watching IPS break down 2 hours of game tape. I love the grind that those guys go through, but it's VMI. We went out, we dominated, we got out relatively unscathed. I'm sure McMahon will be back sooner than later. It's what else is there really to say? We paid them their money. They lost the game the way they were supposed to. We thanked them for their service.
Yeah.
Let's move on to important games.
One interesting matchup, our friends Gambling Gauchos, Texas Tech folks down there, have pointed out that Devin Carter or Malik Dunlap will be covering Devin Carter in the Texas Tech versus West Virginia matchup this weekend.
Wait, what?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Malik Dunlap. Their quarterback that played against us transferred as well.
That kid was good. I liked him. I know Donovan Smith.
Donovan? Yeah.
I thought he was good, and I know he had a rough end of the year, but I thought he had some talent. I thought he was a decent player for a freshman.
Yeah. I'm trying to look up where he ended up. Houston. Yeah. Yeah. I thought he had some tools. So yeah, we'll see. Malik Dunlap. Wow. I'm going with Dunlap. I liked what I saw from him last year.
He had a pick six this weekend.
Did he?
Yeah.
We let the good ones get away all the time, huh? Marquez Valdez, Scantling, Malik Dunlap. Oof, it never ends.
Look, nobody. If you say you were, you're lying. Nobody thought MVS was going to make the league.
Not only has he made the league, he keeps sticking around.
He's stuck around.
Yeah, old Stonehands, as Doran called him. Unbelievable.
MJ Rice, basketball news. I expect you have zero comments on this because it's a basketball-related topic, but MJ Rice has announced that he is stepping away from basketball or has stepped away from basketball for a little while, but he is still part of the team, and he's excited to be back playing for Coach Keats, so whatever that means.
It was a confusing announcement because it wasn't clear to me if he was back.
Yeah. Or it's the word at the end, the modifier at the end. He says, I'll be back with excited to be back with my teammates soon. So when he says soon, it means he's not yet, but he's coming back. I don't know. Mental health things from what it sounds like. Hope he's okay. Hope we get to see the best MJ Rice we get to see, but we'll see.
Yeah. In the end, if you need to take a step away, just take the step away, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
So
yep.
We'll see. Yeah. That was a pleasant surprise. Sorry.
No,
you say get your mind right. Yeah.
Yeah. Get your mind right.
Yeah. Yeah. I really thought when I first read it that it was like he gone. So that was, a pleasant surprise. I was worried we were about to have another, what was his name? The Kentucky guy that, never played.
Sasha Clay Jones.
Yeah, SJK. That's right. Or SKJ. Mm-hmm. Anyways, dude, we're going to win this game. It's like not even going to be close. I'm very excited to watch this beatdown. What do you think it's going to be like? 42-9? Yeah, something like
17-10.
That.
17-10. Yeah, I'm hoping for like the reverse podcast. Enthusiasm. I don't say reverse jinx because I still got them winning. But like, if I expect them to be low and we blow them out, then I'll be pleasantly surprised. Yeah, I'm going that route.
Brendan Armstrong is going to pump fake these motherfuckers so many times, and he is just going to just dump it to Ant Smith out of nowhere.
I love it.
Ant Smith, you heard it here first.
Saving him, secret weapon. They've been saving him.
Secret weapon.
All right. As always, thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting the pod. Let's get Will feeling better so we can get a little bit more non-Nyquil energy he's bringing tonight.
Please. Please, sweet Jesus.
All right. As always, have a good one. Go Pack.
All right. Go Pack. Gotta shake it off.